All right, everybody, welcome to the Casa Connection, our next episode here. We are so happy that you have taken the time to hit that play button. I am Jeff Warren here at Casa Shaw, and I am with our awesome executive director, Tracy Heisler. How are you, Tracy?
I am great, Jeff. I came in the office this morning, and someone had put flowers on my desk.
Oh, that's great.
And whoever it is, thank you. They're beautiful, and they made me happy.
That's what flowers are meant to do, right?
And it did.
And in the world of foster care, sometimes we need that. We need that a little bit, don't we?
We need
a little bit of happy. We need a little bit of smiles. We need a little bit of laughter every now and then, because when we look at foster care, Tracy, and the theme and even the title of what this particular podcast is, ACEs, in which we're going to be getting into, adverse childhood experiences. Again, we need that smile. We need those smiles and we need those laughs, because adverse childhood experiences, it really is it's a downer, let's just say, every now and then. But it's an important component of what we do as CASA volunteers and what our programs do. So I guess when I take a look at learning about ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, through our program, the wonderful job, quite frankly, and yes, I'm biased, the wonderful job that our Casa Shaw program has done over the years, training our volunteers, continuing their education in terms of ACEs, we want to really talk about this on this particular podcast episode. So, Tracy, can you kind of just take us back to the beginning with ACEs, what you know about where it came from, and then we'll get into why it's so important and what we can do about this in the future as it relates to foster care. We're going to have a part two on this just to let folks know, because this is such an important aspect of foster care. So let's start from the beginning. What is ACEs, Tracy? And let's just start from the beginning here.
So I'll tell you, Jeff, this is a core component of what we should know and what we should be doing as a CASA program. So about 6 years ago, I was driving in my car, and there was NPR was on, and they were doing a piece about adverse childhood experiences and trauma and how that trauma impacted kids in foster care. And it was fascinating. So shortly after, I had occasion to meet Dr. Melissa Sadin, who is a PhD in developmental trauma, who's in our area, and she started to tell me about ACEs and adverse childhood experiences and what those look like. And I've been doing this since 1990.
A long time. Yes. A long time.
And this was the first I had heard about it. And actually, so to give you an overview, in the mid to late 90s, there were some researchers from the CDC, Drs. Anda and Folletti, who contracted with Kaiser Permanente to do a study about obesity. What was driving obesity among people, and how to reduce those numbers. So they had a study group size of 17,000, you know, largely middle class, largely white people, and started collecting data, background data. And they started finding a correlation between self-reports of child abuse and neglect and obesity. So they thought, wow, that's really interesting.
Interesting correlation.
Let's pull out of the obesity thing and start looking at these adverse childhood experiences. So they put together a 10-question survey. You can Google it online. It's the ACEs survey. They asked respondents, you know, just give yourself one tick mark if this happened even once to you before the age of 18. And the study, from an epidemiological perspective, was really profound. Fewer than a third of people had zero ACEs. Then there was another section that had one, another section that had two.
Yeah.
But overall, about 25% had three or more childhood of these negative childhood experiences. And what they found was, from a macro level, not every person will be impacted this way, but from a societal level, those people with three or more of these 10 adverse childhood experiences were far more likely to be overweight, to have substance abuse issues, to have mental health issues, to die 20 years sooner than their peers without intervention. And it was transformational for me to learn about the lifelong impacts, because what I could see immediately was the parents that we deal with, 9 times out of 10, they themselves were survivors of adverse childhood experiences that were impacting their parenting today.
And not just perhaps 2 or 3 of the 10, it was right. A lot more.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And there was another study that came out, and I can't remember the exact percentage, but it was in the 90 percentile that if you'd had adverse childhood experiences, the likelihood of you having drug or alcohol issues were in the 90s.
It was off the charts.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. Off the charts.
And the thing that it has done for our program here at Casa Shaw is it has made us look much more closely at a trauma-informed lens.
Yeah.
Not only for our kids, you know, who sometimes have behavioral issues in school or who have physiological changes when they're triggered, you know, that might have violent rages or might run away or hide or be scared or confrontational. All of that has their biology. It changes the way your brain works.
Right.
To be exposed to these adverse childhood experiences. It triggers that fight, flight, or freeze mechanism that we have in our brain to keep us safe.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's a real challenge for our kids is their brain can't differentiate between a real threat and a perceived threat.
Right.
And that's why we see sometimes these really outlandish behaviors that aren't commensurate with the trigger.
Right.
To us, but to that child's brain who's been exposed over and over and over again to potentially dangerous situations, it feels very real.
I remember the first time taking the ACEs, I don't know if you want to call it a test, but just going through the survey, yeah. Sorry, going through those 10 questions initially, and the number that it came back for me, I'm thinking, okay, 10 questions, how I answer these, yes or no, and that's it. And I was absolutely shocked how I was like over, I think I was over 6. I think I was around 6 or so, thinking to myself, okay, I know where I may know, start understanding here where certain things are coming from in my life. And I also think what's important too is like after that realization that I had, Tracy, and working as many years as I have within this CASA program, within our CASA network here in New Jersey, this is something that needs to be talked about more, discussed more, filtered out through various media outlets more. Whether it's us talking here in our CASA programs, which is great, it's an amazing start to understanding human behavior, but also talking about it with our families, talking about it within our workspaces, talking about ACEs during the confines of our day, I think could be very healthy overall for our society. And I know we're smiling here, and I see, though that may seem like a very, very ideological way about looking at things, but I think the more individuals that really do talk about ACEs and what they mean to us because of how our adverse childhood experiences manifest themselves later in life, it can truly help us as a society in general.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm smiling because as soon as I heard about the ACEs, I immediately went to my kids and said, guys, come here. I want you to take this
take the survey, yes.
And then Dr. Sadin and I had created a training that we rolled out several years ago out here in the community. I made my kids, my husband, my cousin, they all had to go through my trauma training while I was getting my stuff down.
Right.
But we focused here at Casa Shaw, as you know, on going to schools to help them understand what's happening. We've tried to speak to law enforcement so that they understand what it is they're seeing. Health departments, presentations for parents. I trained all of the CASA programs here as well over a few years ago. And so I have long been a proponent of trauma-informed care practices. So in April, Somerset County had their annual spring forum where they pick a topic on child abuse or neglect and they have subject matter experts come in and do presentations about
right.
it. So this year it was about ACEs. So our colleague Ellen Davis and I did a presentation about adverse childhood experiences, the epigenetic passed down through generations components of it, the neuroscience on it. And then the next day, there was a panel discussion with three organizations and agencies that we've worked with over the years that have incorporated these trauma-informed care principles within their spaces.
It's a great story because it's getting the word out about this and how important that is.
But I'll tell you, Jeff,
yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I sat here with tears in my eyes because I could see the needle move.
Yeah.
That these three agencies, one was a school, one domestic violence, and one youth mentoring, they had all taken this information and they incorporated it into their programs in whatever way worked best for them and created a safer, more compassionate, trauma-informed space for their clients.
Yeah.
And it moved me for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. This issue in general, trauma, and what trauma not only does to children, foster children, and how this affects all of us later in life, again, I really truly believe is something that we need to continue talking about. We need to continue discussing. We need these safe places and spaces in order to do that. And we have certainly done that within our Casa Shaw program. And I kind of want to divert and direct our conversation here, Tracy, to what we have done. Whether other CASA programs are listening to this particular podcast, other CASA volunteers from other programs throughout the country, because we're getting a little steam here with this, which is fantastic. We're getting the word out about important issues going on in the world of foster care. But really, what are we doing where other CASA programs or CASA volunteers can really start engaging with ACEs?
I can tell you, I'm really proud of the work that we have done.
Yeah.
The first thing that we did was look at our physical space. Was it open? Are there any dark corners where somebody might feel uncomfortable?
Right.
Is, you know, we made sure that everything is in order, that it's spread out, that it's light and bright, and that it's well lit. And that it's a space where people can feel safe. Nobody's going to be blindsided coming here. The second thing we've done is every single staff member, every single advocate, and most of our board members have been through the trainings about trauma. They have a functional understanding of what trauma is, what it looks like, how to recognize it when you see it, and how to resist re-traumatizing people
right.
in your responses.
Yeah.
We have also done, as I mentioned, a lot of community outreach with our neighbors and our colleagues in other agencies. They are also working with our kids, and we want to create a common understanding and a common language as we're all helping our kids. We want to do it in a way that's cohesive.
Right.
Right. We've also encouraged extra levels of training for any of our staff who want to utilize it. Like for myself, I've gone through the Florida State University's trauma level one, trauma level two training. Ellen and I are both the certified ACEs interface trainers.
Yep.
And I've done several things over the years of you know how to incorporate these in our policies.
Right.
And I think also in our interactions with staff,
mm-hmm.
you know, recognizing that one out of four people have three or more ACEs in the country, you don't know who's had challenges and who hasn't.
I'm one of those staff members. Hey, yep.
High five, brother.
Yes, exactly.
So in our internal policies, we try to be very nurturing and understanding with people and their issues. So I'm also certified as a nurtured heart trainer as
yes.
a way to connect with people who might have challenges and difficulties. So I think we've done a lot. I'm really proud of the work we've done.
We have. We have. You have in particular, too. And I would encourage anybody who wants to receive more information, if it's okay with you, Tracy, info@casashaw.org is where you can email us. And we can gather some information for you and pass it along. If you're a CASA volunteer, another CASA program, Tracy, you are so good about getting this information out to various CASA programs.
Sure. And I'm happy to do presentations for anybody who wants it. In fact, I will just give a plug here. I did our CASA training, our ACEs training for NASA.
Yes.
The Kennedy Space Center.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And I heard it went very well,
it did.
Too. Yes.
Yeah, my daughter works there, and her only admonition was, don't tell anybody you're my mom.
Exactly. It sounds like my 11-year-old kids. Don't tell me you're don't tell folks you're my dad. You know, my 11-year-olds say the same thing. Well, where can individuals, Tracy, once, you know, they're kind of taking all of this in, if they want to take the ACES survey, where can they go? I know sometimes every now and then mm-hmm. the Stop Abuse Campaign, who we like the work that they do, that I know they promote it. There are other organizations and nonprofits too that,
sure.
that promote
there,
it. But where would you like to
direct folks? There's a website called yeah. ACES Too High.
There you go.
ACESTOOHIGH.com. I don't know why it's not .org, but it's .com. And the ACES survey is right there.
Okay.
If you're local here in New Jersey and you would like a presentation, you can shoot me an email and we'll get somebody out for you. I've been really fortunate that our board of trustees recognizes the importance of this work and
right.
have allowed me to invest time and energy in it, for which I'm really grateful because
yeah.
I do think that it's made a difference in our community, in our program. And not only for our kids, but also for our parents. I think it's built in a layer of empathy
yeah.
for parents that maybe was missing
yeah.
before.
Absolutely. Giving a greater understanding to our behaviors, why we do and act a certain way, I think it's just the progress that we all need as a society in general. When it boils down to is just understanding who we are more. And I think that creates better communities, better neighborhoods, better relations with other people.
And not just understanding who we are, but being understanding of those around us.
There you go.
That it may not be yeah. the way we would have handled it, but there's a reason behind why they do what they do.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to conclude part one here of ACES and talking about trauma. Stay tuned for our next episode, part two, where we're going to be getting into this and diving into the subject matter a little bit more. Feel free to follow us on Instagram. Search us out at @Casa_Shaw. Same handle on Twitter, @Casa_Shaw. Like our Facebook page. And also, you can head on over to our website. Check out our resources that we have over there as well, casashaw.org. Anything else you want to plug here before we head out here, Tracy?
Oh, I do want to just mention that the ever awesome Jeff Warren just put together a resource page for LGBTQ kids and parents, which
I
think is wonderful.
Yes.
And added that to the resource page. So we know that families have challenges, right? And when you're overwhelmed and you're in crisis, it's hard to figure out where to go to get help. And so I want to commend Jeff for all the work he's done on the resource page.
Thank you.
of trying to, you know, put things quickly and concisely in the hands of families that need them. So.
Absolutely. And we're going to continue doing that. We're going to continue trying to educate our community, continue trying to educate those outside the world of foster care. That's what we're doing. We've been successful with it. And let's keep moving forward.
Go team.
All right, folks. It's going to do it for this episode of the CASA Connection. We will catch you on the next one.
Bye.